Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
It's great to be here. I've got the world's biggest Bible ever. Look at this. It's hard to do this, you know. It all looks easy, but look at the size of that one. How good is that? Thought I'd bring a big old Bible this morning. I'm a big lad, Sam. This is good. I like this new table. I don't know what it is about preaching tables, but often they're like this high. They're kind of Mark Hollinger size. But this is a John Norman, Steve Morstan size. So that is a beautiful thing. Come on now. Snakes and Ladders. Who's enjoyed this series? I think what a great idea. And Pastor John has preached two absolute cracking messages. The first one he talked about encouragement, the ladder of encouragement. And then last week he talked about snakes, snake eggs in your head. Brilliant concepts. But today I want to talk to you about what if some things in life can either be a snake or a ladder. That's what we're going to talk about. So while you're still standing, let's pray, little tinkers. All right, come on, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that we're going into the rest of this year with faith, with expectation, because of all the truth and the promises and the strength that we draw down from heaven. And so we pray that you'd open our ears, you'd focus our minds. Whatever season people are going through, we pray you would lift them through your word in Jesus' name. And everyone who had a bit of faith said, amen. Amen. And at the back, we've got Andy and Fee with their beautiful baby. Come on, why don't we give it up for those guys? Congratulations. How old is Bubs? 5 days, and here they are in church. You legends. Well done. Right, you can grab your seats. Love it. January 2007, we arrived back in Australia after being back in England for 2.5 years. During that last year, a lot of stuff had gone on. Rachel's grandfather, the founder of the church, very much the patriarch of the family, had died. The building up in Heartsease had burnt to the ground in the second biggest fire in the history of our city. And I had very nearly burnt out. Probably the lowest I'd ever been in life. Every night for weeks, which turned into months, when I put my head on a pillow and close my eyes, and normally I'd go to sleep, but now the thoughts would begin to race. Some of you have been there. Maybe today some of you are there. I simply couldn't turn off my thoughts. I tried running at night, staying up late, lots of different things, but nothing seemed to work. Doctors prescribed medication, and in that night season, we made a huge decision, and that was to go back to Australia. Pastor Brian Houston was kind enough to offer us a role, and our role was to go back to Sydney to run the Saturday night service and to run the evening college. And so we boarded a flight and arrived back in Sydney on the 30th of January at 7:30 in the morning. I arrived and there was a text asking me to report to the office in Sydney at 1 o'clock. So after a long flight, I went into the office, and there that I found that as well as running the Saturday night service and running the evening college, I was asked to lecture in the main college to the first year's 600 students, to lecture leadership, to the second year's ministry, and to the third year's a 3 hours per week apologetics class. Inside my head, I'm thinking, I'm not sure I can do all of that. That's a big job. I'm okay teaching leadership, but 3 hours of apologetics, which I'd never studied, on top of the other roles. I could feel my heart begin to beat that little bit faster. My palms got sweaty. I'm not sure I can do this. What if I fail? And the thoughts started to race again. Never forget it. I was in Gloria Jean's, and Rachel grabbed my hands and prayed for me. He said, you can do this. In that moment, I felt like a marine iguana being chased by snakes. You're going to love this clip, so check out the screens. Come on, let's give it up for the marine iguana. Wonder if you've ever felt like that iguana. That inside your head, the snakes are bearing down on you. Negative thoughts chasing you down, hunting you down, refusing to let you escape. Later that week, because I was struggling, I went to see Robert Ferguson in Sydney. Went into his office and he listened to my story, and here's what he said. He said, "You know what your problem is, Steve." Let me stop right there. Firstly, I didn't think it was my problem. I didn't think I'd done anything wrong. He said, "You know what your problem is, Steve?" Anyone like to know what my problem was? You ready for this? He said, "You have such an English mindset." It was an assault on the motherland. Now, he was English, although he thinks he's Australian, but he's actually English. He said, "You know what your problem? You have an English mindset." I didn't expect it. I thought the issue was external expectation. But he said it was an internal mindset. You see, I'd grown up to believe if I was given a job, I had to do it. I had to know how to do it. I had to know exactly where and when. I had to have control of it. So when I was given roles that stretched me, I would shrink back, created stress. Who was right? Was Robert right? Or was I right? Well, let's look at the facts. 1 year later, I'd run the evening college and it had grown. The Saturday night service had grown. I'd done all 3 years of lecture and I absolutely loved it. Robert was right. So let me ask you, your mindset, is it a snake or a ladder? Is it helping you to move upwards and forwards and onwards? Or is it telling you you're going to fail? Is it inspiring you to be an overcomer or condemning you to be an underachiever? Your mindset can be a snake or it can be a ladder. What is a mindset? Let me give you three different dictionary definitions. This is from the Cambridge English Dictionary. It says, a mindset is a person's way of thinking and their opinions. It gives synonyms. It says your mentality or your outlook. But then if we look at the American Merriam-Webster dictionary, it says this, a fixed state of mind. I like that. Think about the word mindset. You set your mind. You fix it. It's resolute. But the definition that I like the most comes from the Fine Dictionary. It's a fine dictionary because it says what I want it to say. So here's what it says. It says, an habitual or characteristic mental attitude that determines how you will interpret and respond to situations. I love this one. Your mindset determines how you respond to situations. People don't see things as they are. They see things as they are. We all see through a lens. When a person is offended, let's say with the church, no matter what you say in defense of the church, they won't see it because they see it through a mindset, an outlook, a way of interpreting and responding to events. When a person has chronic self-esteem, I learned this working in schools with young people, I would see gifting and talent and ability, so I'd speak it into them, but they would block it. They would refuse to accept it. They'd think, you're only saying this because you have to. You're paid to say this to me. Your mindset acts as a funnel and a filter, interpreting what happens to you in life. Your mindset is made up of two dimensions. Number one, your attitude And number two, your expectations. Attitude and expectations. Your mindset really matters. What does the Bible say about mindset? Well, I stuck it into Bible Gateway, all the different translations. I could find three references to the word mindset in Scripture. Number one, here we go. Your mindset is like a ladder when it's fixed on Jesus. It's like a ladder when it's fixed on Jesus. So Philippians 2:5, it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, anyone that knows Philippians 2 was written by Paul when he was in jail. So right there, that's pretty incredible. Everything is going on around him, but he says this. Let's go back to verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. It's not about climbing the ladder to be number one, to be successful. No, he's saying, don't do that. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking for your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I love that Pastor John described snakes and ladders. He talked about the board, where at the top is number 100, at the bottom is zero. And it's all about going in the game from naught to 100. And here's what Paul is saying. What's amazing about this passage is that Jesus started at 100, but he came down to naught for others. It's phenomenal. Look at it. It says in verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Who being in very nature God, he was already at 100. Jesus always was. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word, he had nothing to prove. He was at 100. He was God. But he didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Each verse here is like descending the rungs of the ladder. It says in verse 7, rather, he made himself nothing. He went from 100 to zero. He chose to become nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, made in human likeness. I mean, for God to become a human being, C.S. Lewis said, was like you choosing to become a slug. He made himself nothing and was found in appearance as a man. We're going lower and lower. He humbled himself. He became obedient to death. Listen to this. Even the death of the cross. To the Roman mind, you couldn't sink any lower. It was criminals that were murdered, serious, serial criminals that were murdered on a cross. He went from 100 to a cross. Thank God the story doesn't end there. What happens when you do this? What happens when you live this radical, selfless, humble, God-centered life? It goes on and says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and give him the name that's above every name. I love that. God said, because you've done that, you've gone from 100 to zero. Now I'm going to lift you up and I'm going to place you in the highest place and give him the highest name. I love that. Your mindset is like a ladder when it's fixed on Jesus. When you walk in humility, when you're living for others and not just yourself, that's how you go to 100, because God lifts you up. Number two, your mindset is like a snake when it's built on this world's system. Colossians 2 verse 8 in the Passion says this, beware that no one distracts you. That's right, you. Wherever you're listening to me, don't get distracted. Focus. Beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments of human logic, for they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of the world's system. You know, the world has a mindset. It has a system, a way of thinking. It says at the beginning, beware of being distracted and intimidated. You know, social media will distract you with its thinking and its values and its opinions. Social media will distract you, but also education will intimidate you. I grew up feeling very intimidated by smart people. And a lot of our students that are pouring into universities, you are confronting ways of thinking and systems of thinking that, if you're not careful, will intimidate you. And God is saying to you, don't be distracted, don't be intimidated, because the mindset of this world system will be like a snake and it will take you down. They operate on a different set of values. So number one, when your mindset is like Jesus, it's a ladder. Number two, when it's built on the world system, it's like a snake. But number three, as a leader, your mindset leaks. It will serve as a snake or a ladder to other people. 2 Chronicles 36:14 in the Message is speaking about King Zedekiah. He ruled at the time of Jeremiah. He became a king at 21. How many know it's good to be the king when you're 21? I mean, you talk about opportunity to make a difference in the world. But no, instead of lifting the nation, he became like a snake. He was so rebellious that God called King Nebuchadnezzar to come in and judge him and judge the nation. And it says in verse 14, the evil mindset of the king spread to the leaders and the priests and filtered down to the people. That's what mindsets do. They leak. They infect others. That's why it's so important that as leaders, we make sure we check our mindset. Does it line up with the word? Is it lifting people, or is it being a snake and bringing people down? Especially in times like these. I love Pastor John's message on Sunday here in this building. When he started at the end quoting the word, man, you feel everybody start to lift, because that's what the word does. It lifts you. It injects faith. It injects hope. Colossians 3 verse 1 to 2 says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. I love that. Listen to this. Set your hearts. Everyone say hearts. That's right, at home, say hearts. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly. Set your heart, set your mind. I'm looking at Jillian. You may remember an old glory chorus we used to call it. It was, my heart is fixed, my mind's made up, I'm going with Jesus all the way. Were there any verses to that, Julian? Or was it just those words over and over? My heart is fixed, my mind's made up, I'm going with you. I think it was just those words. We used to sing and sing. And you know what? It does something to you. When you set your heart, when you set your mind. Set your mind on things above. Let's say in this room, and you watching at home, let's say you were at 50 on the snakes and ladder board. Man, I can promise you, if you will, at the start of the day, start to set your mind on God's word and God's truth, if you will start to action the things that Pastor John told us on Sunday and speak in the heavenly language and put worship on, I can guarantee you, your mind will go from 50 to 60 to 70, and you will set your mind and you'll set yourself up for a win on that day. However, if you don't do those things, and you just scroll through social media, look at Facebook, look at Twitter. When it comes to the rest of 2020, you'll start to think, wow, what a year this has been. Man, and I wonder what's ahead. Well, the weather's terrible. The nights are drawing in. It's going to be a cold old winter. It's going to be freezing. I'm not going to be able to get out much. I saw on the news it's the coldest, going to be the coldest winter for 3,000 years. Boris is going to cancel Christmas. COVID is going to be in its 15th wave. My kids are going to get it. And I saw on Facebook that if I get the virus, Bill Gates has implanted a chip in it. And off we go. And before you know it, you've gone from 50 to zero. Like, it happens all the time. Your mindset. Is it a snake or is it a ladder? Who's setting your mind? Who's fixing your mind and your thinking? Who do you start the day and give the honor and privilege of turning the dials on your mindset? It can happen to all of us. Is your mindset a snake or a ladder? You know, Pastor John talked about the importance of quoting the word. So I just... one of my favorite chapters in the whole of Scripture is Romans chapter 8. Hope you've got your own favorites. Man, if I'm doing I'm doing it tough. I can just turn to Romans 8. Look at verse 28. I'll just give you four verses. We know that God works in all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Romans 8, 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him of love. Now there's four verses from one chapter. Man, and already I'm starting to feel a little lifted, just putting it in my mouth. That's one chapter. Here's the good news. There are 1,189 chapters for you to go digging in. Get the gold and set your mind. Make sure your mindset is a ladder and not a snake. Your mindset may have been a snake in the past, but it can be a ladder to your future. Think about that. You may have battled just as I did, feeling like that iguana, with thoughts chasing me down. But I learned to make sure my mindset was a ladder to my future. Here's the good news. You can change your mindset. Got to be honest, before I went to Hillsong, I was by my natural inclination, I was a pessimist. I married an optimist. Rachel's a faith girl. I reckon she came out of the womb singing the hallelujah chorus. She is just, she's a faith girl. She's incredible. She's a lifter of people. She lifts me, lifts our family. But I'm from the Northeast, where men are men and so are the women sort of thing. And we're tough and we're very black and white. We're often very negative. And so that's how I was brought up to be. And if anybody was confident, I'd be thinking, well, who the heck do they think they are? And naturally, I'd want to pull them down. That was my mentality. Then when we went to Hillsong in 2002, my first job was to write a Bible college curriculum based on Pastor Brian's preaching. And so my job was literally to listen to every one of his messages over a 10-year period. So I spent 18 months. I mean, oh, that's a good thing. 18 months, I'd rock up to work at 9 a.m. I'd get a tape. Some of you don't know what a tape is. All right. I would put it in a tape, go press play, and I would transcribe word for word every word of his sermon. Then I would take all of those electronic transcripts and I turned them into a 2-year Bible college course called Faith Works. And let me tell you, faith does work. All right. And not only I realized not only was I writing a course for others, I was transforming my own mind, my own way of thinking. So a lot of people now, you meet me, you think I'm really positive. People know me as, if you ask me how you're doing in Tesco's, I'll say I'm sensational. Just to see the lady's mouth hang open at the desk. Why? Because I've learned to take responsibility for my mindset. Now this doesn't happen in a come to the front, someone lay hands on you and you get changed forever. This actually can take a long time. But it will never start until the day you take responsibility and ownership for your own mind. Remember, it's made up of two dimensions, your mindset, attitude and expectations. I've developed a more positive attitude and I've developed more positive expectations. I'm still learning, I'm still growing. John Maxwell has really helped me with this. I know a lot of you have read John Maxwell's book. He's one of his books on the laws of growth. And I read something this week and it really helped me because he's one of the most positive people around. He's a genius. And in his book, 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth, on page 129, he sums up his mindset. And I think we've got it on the screen. This is the way he processes it. He makes it logical, all right? So number one, life is filled with good and bad. How many know that's true? Some of the good and the bad, I can't control. That's just life. I'm looking around and I'm seeing people, you know, I'm looking at Gareth at the back who lost his dad this year. How many know good and bad happens to all of us? None of us, life happens. Some of the good and bad will find me. It's just the way it is. Bad stuff happens to good people. But here's what he says next. He says, if I have a positive mindset, the good and the bad will become better. But if I have a negative mindset, the good and the bad seems worse. How many know that's all true? Therefore, in light of all those things, he says this, therefore, I choose a positive mindset. At the end of the day, your mindset is a choice. When I sat back and analyzed it, I thought, do I want to be dominated by my Northeast English mindset where I'm expecting bad, or am I going to take responsibility with faith through the Word of God with my mind? I chose to take responsibility for a more positive mindset. When you have a positive mindset, you start to see challenges as opportunities. It's like the old story of the chicken farmer. He's a bit of a pessimist. Every year his land was flooded, every single spring. He didn't want to give up his farm and move, but when the fields became waterlogged and flooded all of the chicken coops, it was a struggle for him because he had to move all the chickens to higher ground. And the older he got, the more difficult it became. One year the flood was so bad that it killed nearly all of his chickens. Went into the farmhouse and told his wife, I've had it. That's it. I cannot afford to replace any more chickens. I can't sell this farm. I don't know what to do. His wife replied, buy ducks. Don't you love it? Sometimes it's not until you're in the middle of a challenge that you think different, you think creatively. What if it were possible to not only go through hard times, but to grow through hard times? Facing difficulties is inevitable, growing through them is optional. I saw a brilliant article last week in The Guardian. Some of you may have seen it. I think we've got the headline on the screen. It's about a health psychologist, Carrie Libovitz, a Californian, who traveled to the Norwegian city of Tromsø. Tromsø is 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle. The city does not see sun from mid-November to mid-January. She was intrigued by this concept of how do you live for 3 months in a city that has no light. Her aim was to understand how do Tromsø citizens cope with the long polar nights. Can I suggest to you, our nation is headed into a long polar night. How are we going to get through it? How are we going to navigate the next few months? And she knew from her research that many people that lived in winter seasons, they would develop seasonal affective disorder, or SAD as it's known. But during the darkest periods in Tromsø, what she discovered was that people didn't develop SAD. They'd figured out a way to push through it. How did they manage to manage their depression? What was the secret? In her article, she said this, one word, mindset. It was the mindset of the people in Tromsø. Quoting from her article, people who see stressful events as challenges with an opportunity to learn and adapt tend to cope much better than those who focus more on the threatening aspects like the possibility of failure. The differences in mindset not only influence people's mood, but also their psychological response, such as changes in blood pressure and heart rate. You know, you can change your blood pressure and your heart rate through your thinking. That's why when you start to feel stressed, your palms go. It affects every part of you. She said this, most people don't realize that their beliefs about winter are subjective. They feel like they're just someone who hates the winter. There's nothing they can do about it. But once you put into people's heads that mindsets exist, that you have control over your mindset, it is incredibly powerful. A few of us, 2 years ago, I think a group of the youth had done this. They went to Oslo. And so we went in January, the Coopers went, and we spent a day sledging. Ooh, that's all right for you. You must have loads of money, 10 quid on Ryanair. Literally, that's all it costs. We spent the day, we spent 20 quid for sledging. We went up and down the mountain. It's one of the best days of my life. So you can see winter as long, dark, and depressing, or you can say, you know what? Maybe it's an opportunity for me to get some fresh air. Maybe I can learn and grow. Mindset, is it a snake or a ladder? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Let's be a church that in the middle of a long, dark, polar season, let's be a church that gives people hope, that challenges them, that they can go further, that God's got great things ahead for us this Christmas. Let's be the one place in our city where we're dispensers of hope, where we're believing the best for our city, that we're going to feed people, we're going to help people, we're going to lift people. John Maxwell in his book says this, it's taken me decades. Think about that. It's taken me decades to develop the right mindset. In chapter 9 of this book, I read this last night, chapter 9 of How to Grow. It's 15 invaluable laws of growth. Law number 9 is the law of the ladder. I thought that was pretty cool. And in law number 9, he says that your mindset is the ladder to help you move up the snakes and ladder board. It's taken me decades to develop the right mindset and learn what rungs need to be in place in order for me to improve. How many of you would know what rungs, as gin comes, how many of you would know, would like to know what rungs to start climbing up this ladder? See, the truth is, your mindset is the way it is now because it's been like that for years. It took you decades to develop your current way of thinking. When you take responsibility, you can start this journey of changing it. He gives 4 things. I want you to look at these carefully because one of them I don't agree with. And I want you to pick which is the one you think I don't agree with. All right, ready for this? So number 1, he says, I will focus on being better on the inside than on the outside. It's a great run. Starts in here. Life is not about what happens to you. It's about what happens in you. Number 2, the inside influences the outside. Man, if you start the day, Pastor John has been talking about the hour of victory in the morning, getting in the Word. How many know when you start off your day like that, it makes a difference? Number 3, inside victories precede outside ones. I'm telling you, it's so true. Most of your battles in life are not external. They're internal. David became a king and he had to fight many nations. But he learnt first with the lion and the bear. You fight the lion and the bear internally. Then Maxwell says this. These are great rungs. Number 4, our inside development is totally within our control. Now, I love all 4, but there's one of them I don't 100% agree with. Which one do you reckon it is? Put your hand up if you think it's number 1 and put it in the comments. If you think it's number 2, put your hand up or in the comments. If you think it's number 3, put your hand up. All right, nobody's put... if you think it's number 4, put your hand up. Very good, class. Give yourselves a little round of applause. I actually think it's number 4. Our inside development is totally within our control. I actually don't think we can do this on our own. I think we need some help. We can only be truly transformed internally. We allow Jesus right at the very epicenter of our heart and soul. Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you. Underline that. He works in you to will and to do, to fulfill his good purpose. Colossians 1:27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is this, Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do I change? I change from the inside out. How do I change my inside? I allow Jesus to be in there, to be first place. And I allow him to speak to me, reveal his word to me, and tell me how to act in line with that. And friend, if you've never invited Jesus into your life, contact us, email us. We would love to introduce him to you. But in the room, would you stand with me? There, wherever you are, wherever you're listening, maybe put your hand across your chest and I would love to pray for you that your mindset will not be a snake pulling you down. It's going to be a ladder that lifts you up and lifts up those around you. Jesus, we cannot do this ourselves. Some of us are optimists. Some of us are pessimists. This is not about our personality type. This is about surrendering our minds and setting our minds upon you. Being all that you've called us to be in your strength and power. So right now, I pray you'd give each of us the courage to take responsibility for our thinking. By your word and by your spirit, we give you our minds and ask that you would renew us, change us, and that in this season our mindsets will be like a ladder to the people who need to be lifted out of the pits. May we bring hope and faith wherever we go. In Jesus' name. And everyone said a big loud amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.